I'm Debbie Critchfield, Superintendent of Public Instruction. Welcome to the Super in 10 podcast, where we highlight important issues in education, success in our schools, and discuss some of the work we do at the Idaho Department of Education. Episodes are 10 minutes long, so we call it the Super in 10. Our guest on this episode is Dr. Brooke Blevins. Dr. Blevins is the Dean of University of Idaho's College of Education. She and her colleagues at the state's other higher ed institutions are responsible for preparing many of Idaho's future classroom teachers. She's joining us now to talk about what teacher preparation looks like. Dr. Blevins, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me today.
How long have you been at the higher ed level and teaching our teachers?
I have been in higher ed for the last 14 years and here at the University of Idaho for the last 2 years.
And you've seen all sorts of changes in the landscape of what teachers need. And I would argue we're at another place where we're looking to add or just add on to, I guess, layer on some other needs for teachers. Do you agree with that? Disagree?
Oh, yeah. I think our teachers are facing new challenges. I don't think that our teachers have ever been challenge-free, right? I think there's new, in each new era, there's something that our teachers have to engage with and problem solve, and that's why they're remarkable, is because they are problem solvers. But I think today teachers are facing new challenges. One, I think there's a narrative around education that's really difficult right now, that there's a lack of value in public education. And we know in our field of work how valuable public education is. And so teachers are facing that. How do they stand up against that? I think they're facing new challenges that our students come with a lot of mental health issues, particularly in a post-COVID world, and how they interact with students and care for students and meet their needs holistically. And you can't just think about sort of the lecture-based instruction anymore. We're thinking about how we educate kids holistically. We've been doing that for a long time, but I think it's more acute now. So I do think there's new challenges that our teachers are facing, but I'm confident they're resilient and they're gonna overcome them. And we're working to prepare them to do that.
Well, let's talk about what that preparation looks like. This is not the first time you and I have been talking about this or raised this discussion. And I appreciate that you've been right at the table every time we talk about the teacher preparation piece and what we need to do to help our teachers feel more confident when they go into the classroom. Some of the things that you discussed and described, which I wholeheartedly agree with, they're not as easily taught as here's how you teach 1 + 1 = 2. They're more complex issues in the classroom. So how do you go about preparing our teachers for some of these things?
Yeah, great question. Well, I think one of the key things that we do in teacher preparation programs is the extensive field experiences our students get. So from the time they enter our programs, and this is statewide, they are in classrooms working with students and working with teachers. And I frankly think that's one of the best ways to prepare teachers is to put them in the actual space in which they're going to be employed in the future. But also the beauty of a teacher ed program is then they have the supports to come back to the university. So they're going out to the field, they're seeing these challenges, they're seeing a kid who's struggling, and they get to come back to us and have rich discussions around how to navigate that in a way that they might not when they end up in their own classroom. So I think that scaffolded support for our students in the field experiences is important. And like I said, we start in their first semester and that continues to their student teaching experience, which is generally in their final year of the program, but all along they're getting those field experiences. I think other ways is we are at the University of Idaho starting to infuse what we call trauma-informed practices throughout our courses. So how do we work with kids who've experienced adverse childhood experiences, ACEs, or trauma in their lives? And we know all kids actually experience some form of this. So how do we prepare our teachers to interact with students in a way that can attend to those things and help a student move forward? And also helping our teachers think about the support systems that schools have in place to work with kids. So the RTI process, the MTSS process, the various processes that schools are using to meet the needs. So I think those are a few of the ways we're trying to help them challenge or meet the challenges of today's educational landscape.
One of the things that we discuss a lot in education, we want to have a large tent for teachers. Anyone that's interested in education, we want to get them there. We know in the state we've got a variety of pathways and routes to get there. I think what you described, one of the values of going through maybe what we would call a more traditional route, is that you do have that support all the way through. You get that student teaching experience, which, you know, you know my soapbox on student teaching early and more, getting the teachers those experiences. So for the Board of Education, who is the governing board for these programs, one of the values, I guess, what I'm getting back to is that the university experience, the college experience, can really help support the teacher in different ways. Now, again, we want people to see themselves coming into education, and I like that they're and have supported alternate ways to get there. But I think ultimately we want everything to lead to a certificate. And so for students who maybe have navigated between non-traditional, traditional routes, you know, what are some of your thoughts and comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, I work for an institution of higher ed, so of course I value traditional teacher ed programs, but I also see the need to have alternative pathways. I'll just give you an example. Right now on our campus, we have 11 paraprofessionals from across the state representing rural districts and one more urban district, and these teachers are coming free of charge. They've had an associate's degree. They've been a practicing special ed paraprofessional for years, and we're getting them additional training so that they can end up with a certificate to teach special ed and a degree. And so I think about, we are trying to create those pathways to help folks who might otherwise not have had the opportunity to do this financially. We know that it's expensive for traditional teacher education. But we're really excited about this program. And in 2 years, these paraprofessionals are going to be ready to take on their own classrooms and ready to meet the needs of our students. So I would say it's a balance, right? It's a balance between those students who have a traditional path, and after high school, they're going to take advantage of the great funding that our state has to go to one of our institutions of higher ed, and they're going to pursue a degree, and they're going to have, as you described, that really scaffolded support, mentorship along the way. They're going to get both the content and the pedagogy, as well as work with high-class, outstanding faculty. And I think that's that. Of course, that would be my preferred way. But at the same time, we also recognize that there's a great need in the state. And so trying to figure out ways to balance that, like our impact program that I just described, I think is really important. So I think those are some of my thoughts around why maybe the traditional program is preferred, but at the same time, why we need to think about how we support future teachers in various ways.
Well, I know for the University of Idaho specifically, you have made yourself available after, well, two schools, and you're offering professional development, you're offering mentoring and other things, regardless of who went through your program. And I think that type of partnership and collaboration is a real model. I want you to think about your elevator speech about becoming a teacher. As you explained and what we hear frequently, it's not considered, you know, this premier profession like it used to be in many places. Now, we all love our teachers, we respect them, but we also don't hear many of our own educators encouraging students to become teachers. And there's a variety of reasons, and I don't want to focus on the negative, but if you're talking to a group of young people, this is why you should consider teaching as a profession. How do you sell them on that?
Great question. Well, I hearken back to Nelson Mandela's one of his famous quotes, which is, "Education is the most powerful weapon with which you can change the world." And I do believe that. I believe that if we look back on our experiences, we can point, each of us, to a teacher or two or three that changed the trajectory of our life for the better. And I think there are lots of things, there are accolades that you can get in life, there's money that you can earn across the board. But I think at the end of the day, when one's reflecting on their lives, I think what's powerful is to reflect on the lives that you've changed. And I think education is the vehicle to do that. I would also argue that education is a profession that you get to see rewards on a regular basis in terms of student achievement and watching a student see that thing click. But oftentimes it's the long-term impact that comes back and I think is really important. In the state of Idaho, this is another thing we say to our young teachers is, we have really great retirement in the state of Idaho. And as a teacher, you get to do this really hard work for a period of time. And when you retire, you're actually going to have a really nice livelihood and be able to enjoy this great state. So I know that seems kind of silly to say, like, but that is a compelling point that I think we want our young people and our teachers to understand, is that maybe you're not making as much money as somebody who works at Micron or a tech company. But in the end, you're going to live a good life, and a life that you're going to get to enjoy long after you've left the profession.
Well said. And I think you covered some incredible points, and so well said that we're going to leave it there. And so, Dr. Blevins, thank you so much for joining us today and being a part of how we prepare and teach our teachers to be ready for students in the classroom. Again, our guest here on The Superintend has been the Dean at the University of Idaho's College of Education, Dr. Brooke Blevins. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The Superintend podcast is produced by the Idaho Department of Education. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. They can also be streamed on YouTube and the department's website, sde.idaho.gov. I'm Superintendent Debbie Critchfield. As always, thank you for listening.